We continue with Surah Al-Hujurat. That surah deals extensively with the development of the community as well as individual development in terms of bettering our character, enhancing our social conduct. Yesterday we spoke at length about abstaining from suspicion, and we mentioned why some types of suspicion is prohibited while others are permissible, and there are instances when you are allowed to practice on your suspicion, and there are times when you need to keep good thoughts also. The verse number 12 goes on to say, وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا, and do not spy. That is the second injunction that is given in this verse. The second social evil that is prohibited, tajassus, spying or prying secretly into the faults of others. Tajassus also means, comes from the words tahassas. In the hadith it is stated, la tajassasu wa la tahassasu, do not spy on one another, do not look for the faults of one another. The two words in Arabic are near synonyms, that the commentators, Akhmash and others, draw the attention to the nuances or the subtle differences in their meaning. Tajassus connotes looking into the affairs of others that have kept secrets, while tahassus connotes several searching in general, and both these have been prohibited. Tahassasu min Yusuf aw akhi, search for Yusuf and his brother. That is what mentioned in the Noble Quran. In terms of tahassus, searches, searching, tajassus has an evil connotation, in which case the Noble Quran or the Messenger ﷺ has prohibited this. And this verse signifies that one may take into account what is presented in evidence, but is not permitted to search for the faults that are not overt. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La tattabi'u awratihim, fa inna man ittaba'a awratihim yattabi'u Allahu awratahu, wa man yattabi'u Allahu awratahu yufdhihahu fi baytihi." Do not search for the faults of others, for those who search for the faults of others will have their own faults exhibited and exposed by Allah, and he whose faults are searched out by Allah and exposed by Allah, he will be disgraced even if he remains in his home. Even if he remains in his home. In Bayan al-Quran, Mullah Shafi'i Thani rahimahullah has interpreted this as tajassus, spying, and tahassus includes the sense of listening to people without their permission when they are talking or eavesdropping at their doors. And if there is an apprehension that some member of the Muslim community may be harmed by some mischief maker, then that is a different matter, that you need to protect the innocent and those that may be harmed. So that is a different matter. But as a general rule, do not pry into the matters of others. Whether it is, you know, picking up someone's phone and reading their messages, or listening to a conversation that someone is having privately, going to someone's mailbox and reading their emails, all of this has been prohibited by the verse of the Noble Quran. Then we are told, وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا, that you should not be backbiting one another. That is the third social evil that this verse prohibits, backbiting. And this means to speak ill of a person behind his back, which if he heard about it, you would feel hurt, you will feel injured. Even if it was the truth, if it was said what was untruth, what was said, it is slander and false accusation. And the prohibition of slander is prohibited elsewhere in the Noble Quran. In the definition of backbiting, the behind a person's back in his absence appears. This does not mean that it is permissible to say hurtful things in someone's presence. This may not be backbiting, but it certainly falls into something else. Lams, which in another verse of the Quran, وَيْلُ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ. You know, when someone says something and then they say, but you know, you're backbiting. He says, no, I'll tell it to him on his face. I'll tell it to him on his face. And we think that the fact that you're bold enough to say to the person's face, that makes it permissible. No. أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَيَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِي مَيْتًا. The verse of the Quran says, does one of you like to eat the flesh of his dead brother? This is a very stern warning about disgracing a Muslim, and it's compared to eating the flesh of a human being. If the victim of disgrace is present before the offender, like eating the flesh of a living person, And the Holy Quran has termed us as limbs, which is prohibited in وَيْلُ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ. Woe to every backbiter. And if the victim is not present and someone speaks ill of him in a way that he is insulted, then this is like eating the flesh of a dead human being. And just as it does not cause any physical torture to a dead body, backbiting does not hurt the victim when he's not aware of it. But just as eating the flesh of a dead body is extremely inhumane act, so is backbiting. And whether the person is present or not present, both are prohibited. Otherwise, so speaking ill of someone in his absence, in an unkind, mean and malicious matter, it's not an act of valor and bravery. It's very coward of a person to be speaking back ahead of someone in their absence. And this verse that we've been looking at has prohibited three social ills: unfounded suspicion, unjustifiably searching for faults, and backbiting. However, backbiting is the most severely and harshly condemned. It is compared to eating the flesh of a dead Muslim, thus bringing out the gravity of its prohibition in a very clear and a very powerful manner. And the wisdom of it lies in the fact that saying hurtful things to the face of someone is prohibited, but the man being present will be able to defend himself. Further, for fear of defense, not everybody will have the courage to utter hurtful things to the face of someone, and usually it does not last long. It is unlike backbiting, where there is no one to defend, and thus the most mean person would pluck up the courage to backbite the greatest of men. And because it is not defended, generally the ball keeps rolling and more people get involved, and therefore backbiting is prohibited most severely and harshly. It is necessary for the Muslim Ummah to realize that when someone is being backbited, it is your duty to defend your brother, to defend your sister. If possible, when people speak ill of them in their presence, if that is not, you need to stop them. If that's not possible, then the least is you abstain from listening, because listening to it willingly, intentionally, is also like backbiting. Sayyiduna Maymoon radiallahu anhu says that once he saw a dream that there is a dead body of an African, and a caller addressed him and said, "Eat this." And Sayyidina Maymoon said, "I said, oh, servant of Allah, why should I eat this?" And the caller said, "Because you've been backbiting a certain African person." Sayyidina Maymoon said that, "By Allah, I did not do that." And the person said, "Yes, you did. You listened to people backbiting and remained silent. If you were in agreement, as if you were in agreement with them." And after this dream, Sayyidina Maymoon radiallahu anhu composed himself, and he himself stopped backbiting and did not allow anyone to backbite in his presence ever after that. It's also in a narration of Sayyidina Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu, relates that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam seen on Mi'raj, that he says that, "When I was taken up to the heavens, I passed by people who had fingernails of copper and were scratching their faces and breasts very violently. And I asked Ibril, 'Who are these people?' And he said that these are the people who were given to backbiting their brothers and who attack their honor." And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Backbiting is worse than adultery." And the Sahaba said, "Oh, Rabbi Allah, how so?" And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "A person may commit fornication, repent to it, and the sin is forgiven. But the sin of backbiting is not forgiven unless the injured party forgives us." So this really shows us and indicates to us that backbiting is not only a violation of the divine right, but also a violation of human rights. And therefore, it is necessary to seek forgiveness of those who have been hurt. And some scholars express the view that backbiting does not become human right unless the injured party comes to know of it. Therefore, seeking pardon is not necessary if the person does not know about it. And it's been quoted in Bayan al-Quran that if the victim of backbiting is not aware that someone has spoken ill, it might not be necessary for the backbiter to beg pardon of that person, but it is necessary that he, makes tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if the person knows about it, then you need to go and ask that person forgiveness. It is stated, "Inna min kafaratil ghiba ayastaghfira liman igtabahu taqul Allahumma ighfir lahu." The atonement of backbiting is to invoke the forgiveness of Allah and say that, "Oh Allah, forgive our sins and the sin of the person." So Islam prohibits backbiting. Is prohibited to backbite children, insane, non-Muslim citizens in Islamic State, because hurtful things hurt everyone. Backbiting does not only connote speaking ill of a person behind his back, but also connotes actions or pointed references to the person. It does not, however, include, certain instances where there is a genuine need to raise up an issue, like there's someone who has been, molesting a child, or there's someone who's committed zulm, then in that instance you have to announce that لا يحب الله الجهر بالسوء. Allah does not like that evil be announced except when there is oppression.